Welcome to the School of the Holy Spirit. My name is Brennan Case, and I'm taking you through the school. We're looking at Month 1, Week 3, the work of the Spirit in the believer. In the school, we want to come to know the Holy Spirit personally. We also want to experience what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want to learn how to move in the gifts of the Spirit and learn how to live our life in the Holy Spirit through personal and communal prayer. And lastly, we want to learn to live and move in the presence and the power of the Spirit. So far in the school, we've learned that the Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. And we've also learned that the Holy Spirit is God and a person. He's a divine person. And this week again, we're going to look at the work of the Spirit in the believer. And our focus scripture for this week is 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Again, if you look on your worksheet, you'll find it in the upper right-hand corner. And I want to encourage you to look this scripture up in your Bible and to start to memorize it, become familiar with it. So it's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And the Word of God says this, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image and ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. Again, we want to look at the Holy Spirit and what is His ministry in our life as a believer. In this session of the school, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit comes alongside. Remember that? In our first session, we learned that Jesus said that He would give us another Parakletos, another one that would come alongside and help us, right? The Holy Spirit comes alongside the believer to do four things, basically: to establish us, to change us, to empower us, and to reveal to us. To establish, change, empower, and reveal. So now we're going to take those four things, establish, change, empower, and reveal, and I want to take you into the Word of God and show you the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's start with that the Holy Spirit establishes us as believers. If we look in the Word of God, first of all, He establishes us in holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you." It says here that we're sanctified by the Spirit. Sanctified is another word for holiness. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit, first of all, establishes us in holiness. He's the one that makes us holy. He's the one that makes us right before God. He's the one that cleanses us of sin. He's the one that helps us to grow to be more and more like God. He establishes us in holiness. Number two of this work of establishment of the Spirit is next, the Spirit regenerates the believer. He makes us a new creation. It says in John chapter 3, verses 3 and verse 5, John 3, verses 3 and verse 5, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, right? And Jesus answered him, that's Nicodemus, and He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The work of the Holy Spirit in our life as believers is to come alongside and to help us, to make us new creations. And we're literally born again, born anew by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become an entire new creation when we're baptized. You know, the first person that was ever baptized, you know, the apostles were baptized. When they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were the first of a new species on the planet. Did you hear that? When we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, when we're born again, we literally become a new species on the planet. And what's the species? Sons of God. We become a new creation. We become sons of God. So the second work of the Holy Spirit is our regeneration. We become born again, born anew by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, the Holy Spirit establishes a testimony in the believer's heart of who the believer is. Once you're born again by the Holy Spirit, you're holy now, you're in right relationship with God, you can know who you are. In Romans 8:15-16, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back again into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the next work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer is to establish in us who we are. And who are we? Children of God. God is our Father. Do you know, of all the things that I've learned in life, I can truly say this. The most important thing I've ever learned is that God is my Father. And the second most important thing is I've learned is that I'm his son. And the Holy Spirit wants to establish you in that sonship, in that relationship with God. The next thing the Holy Spirit does to establish us is he seals the believer's relationship that has been established. In Ephesians 4:30, it says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, in whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption." He seals that relationship. He is the one that is now going to work to make sure that it's closed and it's protected and it's taken care of. Next, the Holy Spirit established the believer's relationship with God the Father. In Galatians 4:6, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Do you know that's a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do within you? Is just to cry out in you, Abba, Father. You know, a great prayer exercise is just to get ourselves out of the way and to let the Holy Spirit just to cry through us, Abba, Father. You know that word, Abba? That is a word that really means daddy, daddy. This is amazing when you think about this. God, the creator of the world, has chosen to be in relationship with us in the sense that he's our daddy. Now, you might think that all the other religions of the world, that's not so unique. Okay, so what? But you know what? In Christianity, that relationship with God is totally unique. That God is your father, that he's your daddy, your Abba. You won't find that relationship ever in Islam with God. You won't find that relationship ever in any other religion in the world but Christianity. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, the all-powerful, the almighty, is our Abba, Father. The next thing that the Holy Spirit does is he establishes the believer's sure access to the Father. In Ephesians 2:18, it says, "For through him we both have access in the one Spirit to the Father." Do you know, there's times when we sin, and, you know, our sin does separate us from God. Let's just be honest about it. But you know what? The work of the Holy Spirit in your life is to say, you know what, get up. You're separated right now, but I'm going to give you access back to your Father. The Holy Spirit is the one that is there to take you by the hand. Remember, he comes alongside to help you. The Holy Spirit comes along, takes us by the hand, and brings us right into the presence of the Father. He gives us access to the Father. That's a beautiful thing to think of, that the Holy Spirit wants to take you by the hand and bring you right into the presence of God, your eternal Father. Next, the Holy Spirit establishes the believer's heart as a temple. We've already studied this in that the Holy Spirit is our constant abiding companion. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Remember in that teaching I talked about that God doesn't choose to dwell in some marble temple or some gold-laden edifice or all these things that you could imagine that God would want. But God chooses you to be his temple. And he establishes you, the Holy Spirit does, as the temple of God. So, the Holy Spirit comes alongside the believer to establish, to change, to empower, and to reveal. So let's move on to the next thing. The next thing that the Holy Spirit wants to work on in you is to change you. He transforms the believer into the image of Christ. This is the next work of the Holy Spirit. Is once he's established you in your relationship with God, now he wants to change you. It is his work to make you holy. It is his work to make you like Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18, the word of God proclaims, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is Spirit." So the work of the Holy Spirit, it says here, is we're being changed into his likeness. Who's the likeness? The likeness of Christ. We're being changed to look like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus. We're being changed to desire what Jesus desires, to forgive like he forgives and love like he loves. The Holy Spirit, that's his work. Sometimes we think in Christianity that it's the try harder religion, that I'm supposed to change myself. No, I'm sorry to tell you that. That's not Christianity. We're not the change harder, we're not the try harder religion. We're not the religion of, we're not a self-improvement religion. It's not self that we're going to improve ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit. This is a work of grace. And it's the work of the Spirit to do this, to make you holy, to change you to be like Christ. The Holy Spirit brings freedom to the believer. When he changes you, he brings freedom to you. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, we read this, it says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." You see, the truth be told, before we come to Christ, we're not free. We're afraid. And doesn't that imprison you? But see, when the Holy Spirit comes inside you, and you know who you are, you know what you have, and you know what you can do, you're going to be free. You're going to be free. So that's the next work of the Holy Spirit, to change you, to take you from fear to freedom. Then the Holy Spirit provides victory to the believer over the flesh. He's going to change you so that you have victory over your flesh. In Romans 8:2-4, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. God has done this, sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh for the sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life to change your walk, and so that your walk is so that you can overcome the flesh. Why? Because he's doing the work. This is good news, and we need to hear this. That you know what? You don't have to stay in that sin that you're in. That the Holy Spirit provides victory for you. And you can walk according to the Spirit, not according to your flesh. He creates character in the believer. The character of Christ. This is how he changes us. To give us the character of Christ. And in Galatians 5:22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Right there. If you want to know what Christ looks like. He is love. He is joy. He is peace. He's patience. He's kindness. He's goodness. Or in some translations, generosity. He's faithfulness. He's gentleness, and he's self-control. So the Holy Spirit comes in you to change you to have this character of Christ. He then convicts us of sin, because the truth is, sometimes we don't walk according to the character of Christ. So in John 16:8, Jesus says, "And when he comes," he's referring to the Holy Spirit, "when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." The Holy Spirit wants to change you to help you to see your sin. The truth be told, we can't see our sin. The first thing you should do when you come into repentance is this: Holy Spirit, show me the truth. And he'll reveal to you that truth to you. And then the Holy Spirit wants to change us by someday he will raise you from the dead. Now that's really being changed from death to life. You're going to have a resurrected body. And that's going to be the work of the Holy Spirit according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ, Jesus, from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit which dwells in you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to come and bring life into your dead body. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside again to establish, to change, empower, and reveal. Now let's look at the empowerment of the Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit empowers the believer to witness. In Luke 12, 11 through 12, Jesus says, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious how or what you are to answer or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." You know, a lot of people get really uptight about the idea that they should witness, that they should talk to other people about Jesus Christ. Well, you know, when you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you, when you live a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit, He'll be the one that gives you the words. He'll be doing the talking. He next empowers the believer's worship. We should worship by the Holy Spirit. The Father seeks worshipers, Lord Jesus says. Worshippers in spirit and truth. And in Philippians 3:3 it says, "For we are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." We worship God in spirit. So whenever we worship, we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him do it. He empowers the believers with gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11, it says, "To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the Spirit, another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kind of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills." You know, I just read through a list of 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I've got good news for you. It says right at the end that to each is given one of those gifts. One of those gifts is in your life. Now, you might not know those gifts yet, but we're going to help you to discover them. You're going to discover one of these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit is in your life for the sake of the building of the church. Next, the Holy Spirit comes alongside the believer, and He is there to empower the church. In Acts 13, 2 through 3, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. See, He came and He's leading and He's guiding the church. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to worry about that. The church is led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And I can just surrender to that and I can trust that. That to me, that's really beautiful. Wow, what a grace. And that, okay, so the Holy Spirit comes alongside the believer to establish, to change, to empower, and lastly, to reveal. The Holy Spirit comes alongside to reveal doctrine to believers. In 1 John 2:27, it says this, "But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you." The anointing. That's an Old Testament way of talking about the Holy Spirit coming. The oil of the Spirit, right? "But the anointing which you receive abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, as His anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it is taught you, abide in Him." See, the Holy Spirit will come alongside, and He'll begin to teach you if you let Him. He'll reveal God's will to you as a believer. In Romans 8:14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." He wants to lead you and to guide you. And where does He want to lead you and guide you? Into the will of God. Into the will of God. So that's a work of the Holy Spirit. He knows and reveals the mind of God to the believer. In 1 Corinthians 2:10-14, it says, "God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what person knows a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts God bestowed on us. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who possess the Spirit. The unspiritual man does not receive the gifts of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside of you and go back and really take a look at that 1 Corinthians 2:10-14, is he will teach you the things of God. Okay, so the Holy Spirit comes alongside the believer to establish, change, empower, reveal. Wow, that's a lot of stuff. You probably never stop to think about all the Holy Spirit does and wants to do in your life to make you like Christ. So I want to encourage you to open up your heart, to be praying for more of the Holy Spirit, and say, Holy Spirit, establish me, change me, empower me, and reveal to me. And next week, we're going to take a look at the titles of the Holy Spirit to see what those titles teach us about who he is and what he wants to be for us. And I speak all this in Jesus' name. Amen.